Welcome to worship on this eve of Easter 3, and a special welcome to guests and visitors and those who are joining us virtually online as well for worship. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I want to begin with Psalm 4, and then I'll have a few announcements, and then we'll have our confession and forgiveness. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will lie both down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The word of the Lord. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, after worship tonight, we'll have an Emmanuel huddle. Remember, it's not a congregational meeting. That's next week. But this is an opportunity for conversation and an opportunity to give you kind of a update on how things are going for the first quarter of the year 2021. I sent out an email to all of our covenant members too, and then we also have handouts tonight so that you'll have a paper copy as well that you can write on as far as taking notes. Tomorrow, our beloved sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in St. Charles, is going to be installing their first called pastor, Reverend Doug Hedman, and so we're looking forward to praying for him and the congregation tonight and also celebrating with them and giving thanks to God for the holy work that they're already doing and that they will continue to do. In-person Bible study this coming Wednesday, that'll be here at 11 in the sanctuary area of Oasis. And then I mentioned the congregational meeting next week at 7 p.m. to discuss the distribution of some funds from the building fund so that we can continue to use the land God gave us to further his kingdom, his glory, his name, his Easter present. So you'll hear more about that. And then disaster response, there's going to be an opportunity to hear more about that with Mary Bates, and that's at Holy Cross Lutheran Church on Sunday, April 25th. Other announcements in your bulletins also, please take note of those as well. I invite you to rise as you are able for your confession and forgiveness. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Blessed are those who call on the strong name of the risen Lord. As we gather in the victorious name of Christ, let us open our hearts to him and confess the ways in which we have failed to follow his will and the ways in which we simply neglected our calling as his disciples. Lord of heaven and earth, of the living and of the dead,
we come before you, confessing our sins, asking for your gracious mercy. By our human nature, we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By your loving kindness, we implore you to grant us forgiveness and restore us to your salvation, that we might live holy lives here and now, and be with you in the final resurrection. Amen.
Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God declares to all who believe and confess their sins that we are forgiven and restored to a right relationship through Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed and renewed by Christ, our Passover Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us walk in newness of life, following our Lord Jesus in holy obedience.
Amen.
We sing together our gathering hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is risen.
Trumpets resounding in glorious light, splendor the Lamb, heaven forever. Oh, what a miracle God has in sight. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, alleluia. Weeping be gone, sorrow be silent, death put asunder, and Easter is bright. Cherubim sing, oh grave be open, clothe us in wonder, adorn us in light. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, alleluia. City of God, forever, hold in Jerusalem, Jesus the Lamb. River of life, saints and archangels, sing with creation to God the I Am. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, alleluia.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who went to the cross for our sake, the love of the Father who put an end to the power of death through the resurrection of Christ, and the promised Holy Spirit who gathers us together, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you make yourself known to us in the breaking of bread and reveal to us the mystery of your life, death, and resurrection through the Scriptures. Embolden us to live our lives in ways that bear witness to who we are, beloved children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 36. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the disciples were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We sing together the first two verses of our hymn of the day, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." I know that my Redeemer lives, and you know that your Redeemer lives as well. Earlier today, I posted a children's message on our Facebook page and also on our website. Thank you, Don, for helping with that. And it's about practices, and we hear about that in our lessons for tonight. What is it that we are practicing? Are we going to be children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gathered? Or will we be children, St. John says, of the devil? In other words, not beloved, but bewitched, fooled, and not having the complete confidence that God gives us through his spoken and his written and proclaimed word. Darkness fell, his friends scattered, hope seemed lost, but heaven just started counting to three. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8. You see, St. John, in his gospel, in his sermons, his epistles, in the revelation he receives on the island of Patmos, St. John wants you and me, he wants the world to know the certainty that we are God's beloved. He wants our joy to be complete. He wants us to know that the gift God has for us is not just bios, you know, biology, where you get a date, a dash, and a date like in a cemetery. It's not just psuche, it's not just the heart, the mind, the will. No, it's zoe, divine life, eternal life, Alpha, Omega, Jesus life. The certainty, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the atoning sacrifice for your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Yes, yes, you see, you touch, you taste. That's how John begins his letter, his sermon. He said, this is not a pipe dream. This is not just somebody's opinion. St. John wants us to know the certainty that the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely irrefutable. It's overwhelming in terms of the proof and the evidence. And John will say, don't just take my word for it. You've seen it. You've touched it. You've tasted it. It's for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, for Zoe, for eternal life with Jesus that begins now, not just some distant future. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, St. John says, we are practicing confession and forgiveness because we've been covered with the blood of Jesus, cleansed completely. By the grace of God, we are practicing Easter and resurrection, no longer entombed by sin. But if we say we have not sinned, if we sin willfully, deliberately, well, then we identify ourselves as not a child of the Heavenly Father, but a bewitched child of the devil, and we make God a liar. It's not just that we're lying, children of the devil, you little father of all lies. No, it's that we make God a liar. And John says, that's not who we are. You are beloved, and God has lavished his love upon you. In the name of Jesus. I read a story this past week about a czar and a czarina. And they wanted to honor the servants that had been serving in their court. And so the czar and czarina said, we're going to have this amazing banquet. And then the question became, so who gets invited? Well, all the servants, the ones that have been serving in the kingdom. And who will sit between the czar and the czarina at the head table? The guest of honor. Well, the czar said, when you send out the invitations, tell the people that are invited that they need to bring the invitation in their hand so that we know that they have been invited to the banquet. Now, a strange thing happened on the night of the banquet when everyone was wondering who was going to sit between the czar and the czarina. The guards, as the guests came in, they didn't look at the invites. They looked at the hands. And everyone was surprised when the banquet began. And there was this scrub woman that was sitting between the czar and the czarina. She had been scrubbing the floors. Her hands were all gnarled for years, decades. And when the guards saw her hands, they didn't look at the invite. You know what they saw? What they touched, what they tasted, what they observed? These hands, they said, demonstrate a commitment to love and loyalty. They are servant hands. Beloved, that's who we are. That Jesus has, in fact, taken all of our wounds, all of our sin, and took it to the cross. By his stripes we're healed, but let's face it, the holes in his hands, the wound in his side, the nails that were pounded into his feet, they were meant for us. This was our sin, my friends. And Jesus offered it all up on the cross and cleansing us, you and me, and the world that God loves and lavishes his love upon with an everlasting love, the love of Jesus. John says, this is observable. This is multi-sensory. John is not just blowing smoke. He's seen it. And it's not just John, but we see in the Gospel of Luke tonight too. Remember last week it was John chapter 20, right? And you remember on Easter morning, for example, that it was Mary Magdalene and she thought he was the gardener and she's clinging and Jesus says, you can't keep holding on to me. I mean, she knows he's not a ghost. Right? He's not just some kind of a spirit. I've got to ascend to the Father, Jesus said. So, later that night, first day of the week, Easter, remember Jesus appears in the upper room, the doors are all locked, and he's there with them, and he breathes on them, and he gives them the office of the keys, and he says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. But who wasn't there? Thomas. Thomas wasn't there, so 1 week later, Jesus comes back because Thomas has said, unless I see with my own eyes, unless I touch with my own hand, unless I put my fist into his side and my fingers into the nail holes, I will not believe. He wasn't willing to believe what the others had seen and told him was true. So Jesus came back 1 week later, right? And what does he do? Come on, Thomas. Put it in there, buddy. Make a big fist. Don't be disbelieving. The resurrection is for the confidence of faith in the risen Christ. And he says, my Lord and my God. Oh, have you believed because you've seen? Because I said, oh, go ahead and touch? Blessed are those who have not seen with their own eyes, but they've seen through the eyes of faith that the Father gives to his beloved. Beloved, see? See what love the Father has for you? That you should be called children of God? And that's exactly what you are. See the love he's lavished upon you? The reason why the world doesn't know you is because it didn't know him. But God knows you, because God has cleansed you of all your sin, because God has claimed you, because God has lavished upon you the blood of his Son, Jesus, that cleanses us from all our sins. And so tonight, in Luke 24, we see another appearance. I've been thinking about that word, appear. Because people say, well, it appears that you're my friend, but you're acting like you're my enemy. You see, that's not what we're talking about. When we talk about Jesus appeared, he appeared, he appeared, he appeared, it's not just makeup or make-believe. No, he showed up. And that's what we see happening in Luke 24. We know the story, Cleopas and his traveling companion, and Jesus is walking with them. And their hearts are on fire. I mean, they're just burning up. And then he appeared to be going further, but they said, you know, it's late, it's getting dark. It's not safe to travel. Why don't you stay here? We'll have supper. You can get up and get a fresh start in the morning. And while they're at the table, Jesus, the host, breaks the bread, and their eyes are opened. And they know, and they see, and they taste. And he disappears. And they say, oh my goodness, when he was opening the word, the scriptures, that's why our hearts were burning. And even though it was dark, and even though it was uphill to Jerusalem, they got back on the road. Why? Because when Jesus appears, what do believers do? We come to faith and we share that faith. Right? I mean, we don't hoard it. We don't say, well, you know, let's see if I get a good night's sleep or not, and maybe if I'm refreshed in the morning, then I might tell somebody about this. We go and tell right away. And that's what they do. And they get up to Jerusalem, and you must have laughed a little bit, at least, when Julie read the gospel, because, oh, that's old news. I mean, Jesus has been appearing to people all day. He's even showed up and Simon Peter saw him, you know? And while they're sharing their story about the Emmaus Road experience, what happens? Jesus is in their midst. Just like he's gathered in the midst of where two or three are gathered in his name. Jesus is right there. And they were troubled and astonished, and they had joy, but they were disbelieving. Too good to be true, huh? Too good to be true? Maybe that's why so many people don't get excited about Jesus and sharing the gospel with others. I don't know. Do they think that it's too good to be true? What we know is that Jesus says, I don't want you to doubt. He's not a spirit. He's not a ghost. They think they're seeing a ghost. So what does he do? See? Touch. Multisensory, right? Just like in the sermon, the first epistle of John. We've seen it. We've touched it. We've tasted it. We've heard it with our own eyes, our own ears, our own fingers. This is not made up stuff. Multiple attestation, reliable, irrefutable. You know the certainty of it because God has placed that certainty into your heart through the gift of his love and mercy and grace. And then I gotta believe, if you've ever had your stomach growl, anybody ever have a stomach growl? You know what I'm talking about, right? And usually somebody says, oh my goodness, somebody's hungry. Right? I gotta believe, because I think Jesus had this great sense of humor, that probably right then after he said, go ahead and see, go ahead and touch, that there was this rumbling in his belly. And he said, you got anything to eat? And it says, you heard it, you can see it in the scriptures, in their presence. Right in the presence. He didn't say, oh, you got some broiled fish? That's nice. I'm going to go out for a little bit. I'll come back when I finished eating it. And then I'll, right? He didn't do that. In their presence, he eats the broiled fish. Why? This is a bodily resurrection, my friends. And when you rise from the grave, it's a bodily resurrection, my friends. It's not some kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost. And then Jesus, who has given his peace to them, says, I need to open your minds to understand that all of this was necessary. You can read about it in the law. You can read about it in the prophets. You can read about it in the writings, the Psalms. It was necessary that the Son of Man die and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached to the world. Stay until you're clothed with power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit. You've been clothed with that power. So the word stay is go. You see? The word stay is go. Get out there. Get the word out. People are perishing. People are lost and need to be found. Don't we care? Don't we care? We know the Father does. And the world is watching. Seriously, the world is watching the church to see if we actually believe what we say we believe. Now, there's a problem, and I know you know the problem. St. John talks about it in chapter 2 of his epistle. There are false prophets. There are antichrists. You can read about it. I'm not just making it up. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's still happening today. I could give you multiple examples of people that are not proclaiming Christ, but they are anti, in other words, against Christ. It's almost like these children of the devil that want to lie rather than speak the truth. It's almost like they really get excited about seeing people perish. I don't understand it. I don't know how anybody could be so heartless that they wouldn't care about the salvation, the eternal destiny, the zoe of God's beloved world. But there are false teachers out there. And I'm going to just give you just one tonight. I'm not even going to give you the name. But it's a senator from Georgia that tweeted at Easter, tweeted this and then removed the tweet. I'm not making this up. You can find this out. And he said, we need to see that Easter is a lot more transcendental, you know, than just the resurrection of Jesus. And this is what he said. Whether you are a Christian or not, if you commit yourself to helping others, you can save yourself. You heard me, right? I'm just repeating what this is a pastor who's a senator This is somebody out there, my friends, at Ebenezer Baptist Church, right, where Martin Luther King Jr., they're into liberation theology, and they've forgotten that the only one that can liberate us is Jesus Christ through his atoning sacrifice and blood. He's the only one. That's why he removed the tweet, but all kinds of feedback saying, this is heresy. It's no different than what John was saying in his sermon in 1 John chapter 2. John is reminding us in chapter 3 too that we're either going to practice sinning willfully or we're going to practice righteousness, purity. We're going to practice good or evil. And to tell people that if you are just morally good, or if you help someone, you can save yourself, then why in the world did Jesus come into this world, my friend? Just to give us an example? While we were dead in our trespasses, God proved his love for us. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that there were people saying in Corinth that there's not going to be a resurrection. The dead are not going to rise. They've fallen permanently asleep. And Paul says, you understand, if you connect the dots, you understand where this is going to take you, right? That means that we're a bunch of liars. That means we're not preaching the truth. We're preaching fake news. And in the process, we're not going to be raised because Christ wasn't raised, because there is no gospel, which means we're still in our sins, which means we're lost forever. Forget the Zoe, friends. Just grab for whatever you can get in your bios. It's nuts, isn't it? And that's not the only example. You can hear it in pulpits. You wouldn't have thought you would hear it in pulpits, that we can save ourselves through our moral goodness or because we just simply help people. No, we do moral goodness. We practice goodness, we help the neighbors, we love others because we're saved. Not to get ourselves saved, we're sinners. We need the blood of Jesus. We need the love of our Heavenly Father. We need to be redeemed. And in Christ alone, we are. This is the certainty that St. John is proclaiming. When he says, see the love the Father has lavished upon you. I mean, lavish is not just a little trinket, my friends. Lavish, you know what lavish is, right? I mean, this is overflowing. This is really gushy. Oh, come on, you're slobbering all these kisses on me. Come on. Enough already, huh? Lavishing. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when Christ appears, we're going to be like him. So in the meantime, what's our practice? What's our practice? Who's our Father? The Father of all lies or the Father of the way, the truth, and the light? Will we be bewitched or beloved? Will we be practicing purity and holiness and righteousness, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of Christ, or bewitched and foolish and just simply, well, habitually, willfully, intentionally, over and over and over and over again practicing sinning? Really? Would we do that? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He atones for every one of them, cleansing us with the blood of his Son. What a merciful Father we have. What's your practice? It's a good question. I mean, because the world is going to want to know. If they ask you, who is your Father, the Heavenly Father or the Father of all lies, they're going to want to know what you tell them. And probably what we show them. Multi-sensory. You see, you touch, you taste, you feel, you know who you are. You're beloved. I'll close this with one final story. It's one of my favorites. It's about Moses Mendelssohn, grandfather, great-grandfather of the famous composer over in Germany. Moses Mendelssohn was born short with a terrible humpback. And there was a merchant in town who had a beautiful daughter. She would come to visit her father. And whenever he would go in to see her and into the merchant's store, she would always look away because he was so badly disfigured. She was there for one final day in the store, so Moses went there, and he was visiting with her about different things, and then he cut to the chase. He said, "Do you believe that God fixes marriages? Do you believe that husbands and wives are chosen by God in heaven?" And she looked at him and said, "I most certainly do. What about you?" And Moses said, "Well, I most certainly do. That before we're born, that God says, this boy, this girl, this boy, this girl. That's what I believe." She said, "So do I." But all the time, she's looking away. And then Moses said, "So before I was born, the voice of God spoke and said, this boy, this girl. And then the Lord revealed to me, but she will have a terrible disfigured humpback." At which point, the boy said, "Please, no. Make her beautiful. And let me have the humpback. Please." And so it was granted. And when she heard those words, her glance came up to his face. And then they began to court and got married and spent their life together. The world is watching God's people to see if we're beloved or bewitched. If we're going to tell the truth, or if we're going to say nothing but lies. If we have the confidence of being children of the Heavenly Father safely in his bosom gathered, or if we have only one confidence, that we're all perishable and we're going to die, and that's it. Eternal death or Zoe. And the world is going to ask you, what do you believe? And the world is going to watch you and me and see what we show them. And see what we show them. Beloved, you are God's children now. Practice, practice, practice. Not so that you can earn your salvation, regardless of what you believe, but so that we can praise our Father and daily sing Alleluia in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able, and we'll sing two more verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
Mansion to prepare.
In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray to our victorious Savior on behalf of the Church, the world, and all people. Lord Jesus, we can scarcely imagine seeing you face to face. It's even harder to imagine looking at each other and seeing you perfectly reflected in everyone's face. Thank you for that promise. Give us grace when it's hard to see you in ourselves and each other, to cling to that promise and to catch a glimpse of your love shining through. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your church in your image. In its words, let unbelievers hear your challenge, forgiveness, and invitation. In its deeds, let them see your love. In its worship, let them see your beauty. In its cross-bearing, let them see your life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make this congregation bold to proclaim you as our risen Lord. Help us to speak and act in ways that reflect your holiness and love to those around us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to our children your dearest blessings. Teach them to trust you with all their heart and to find happiness in sharing your love with their friends and family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray on behalf of all whose needs of body, soul, and mind are great. We lift before you the names of these.
We pray for Randy Olson, for Julie Blanchard, for Cindy Lund, Neil Prokel, Jenny Brown, Kelly Stoyles, Karen Peterson, Barb Stephenson. We pray for Dan Berklin, for Keith Hammerbeck. We pray for Pam Hammond, for David Schaefer, for Amy Cooper, for Kenny Hansen and his wife Mary, and for Sue Tesmer. We pray for Heather Mickish, Lord, for Lee Pierce, and all those that we name before you.
Change their suffering into patient endurance and their sorrow into enduring hope. Grant them your peace and healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we are your beloved children. We pray for our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran, and their new pastor, Reverend Doug Hedman. Bless their ministry and partnership together for your glory and for your kingdom purposes. And gracious Father, we pray for our huddle tonight, our special congregational meeting next week. Each week, Lord, we want to give you, and each day we want to thank you and offer our praise to you for the land that you provided, for making us your church and your people, and for calling us to bear witness to Easter and the certainty of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Go now in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together, Children of the Heavenly Father. Please join with me in the dismissal. Hallelujah! Go in peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.